You're listening to episode 129 of Flick Fights, the official podcast of FlickChart.com. Hello, Flick Charters, and welcome to Flick Fights, the official Flick Chart podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Chase.
I'm Eric Blythe.
And I'm Lou Secchi.
And we are here to examine the best movies of all time through a series of matchups head-to-head. And as we decide the winners between each pair of movies, our chart grows and refines to reflect all of our collective tastes. If you're not already on Flick Chart, head over to FlickChart.com and sign up for an account. And rank all of the movies that we'll be talking about on an account that you can call your own. And on this episode, it'll just be the three of us, as we are going to be doing some re-ranking. So,
all right.
Housekeeping.
Yes. So let's just get right into it, guys. Let's go into the Thunderdome.
Two men, hand to hand. No jury, no appeal, no parole. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Weapons?
Anything is possible. Chance decides.
Thunderdome. How do I get in there?
That's easy. Pick a fight.
Okay, so the first matchup is Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix against Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, now the obligatory question.
Yes. Which Harry Potter was it?
Yes. Order of the Phoenix was the second one?
Fifth one.
Oh, wow. That's what I meant. I remember it had a phoenix, right? Didn't it have an actual bird that,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I remember that.
Let's see. Is it the, it's the fifth.
This was not the one with the big competition with the other schools.
That would have been the one before it.
I've got a. Of course, see, now my problem is if I go back and watch Harry Potter again, which I've been meaning to do, having just recently gone to Universal Studios and falling in love with the whole setup they have there for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But now, like, if I binge watch them, it's still not going to help me differentiate between the films.
Right.
So I'm still stuck.
Mm. Yeah, you watch them so close together.
Yeah. That being said, I would pick the worst of the Harry Potter films over Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, I think so.
Crocodile Dundee had its place back in the 80s when it came out, but I don't think it holds up for a while. I haven't seen it in years, but I can't imagine it's going to be a very engaging movie to watch today.
No.
I'm trying to think of what the sort of general plot of Order of the Phoenix is, but seems like from Half-Blood Prince on, it gets just kind of all run together a lot.
I think the plot has it like there are evil magic users who are trying to hunt down Harry Potter. and then he like just barely squeaks by at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's the premise. And,
you know, you can actually argue that that makes it a really good movie because it's all one story. I mean, it's one tale being told over what, eight movies?
Yeah, it is. That's the one thing I would say that Harry Potter really has going for it is that the consistency from film to film in terms of the overall look and the overall like tone that it's going for is pretty consistent. There are some that are better than others, but there's definitely a similarity that exists that you don't see in a lot of other big, long running franchises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so Order of the Phoenix is going to beat Crocodile Dundee because Crocodile Dundee is just kind of a dorky 80s comedy. Okay, we've got The Shining against Space Jam.
No contest here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shining.
We need to push Space Jam down to the bottom of our list.
Shining is going to win that one. The Goonies against Jurassic Park.
This is tough. Well, it's tough for us.
Maybe tough for you guys, but...
Okay, well, that's true, Lou, because you've seen...
I've never been a big fan of the Goonies. I probably should watch it again. I mean, It was an okay movie for me, but it wasn't anything fantastic. Whereas Jurassic Park, yeah, that was an event when it came out. I mean, that was an amazing movie.
The Goonies was one of those films in the 80s where it took kids on a ride that kids wanted to go on. You had a lot of movies that were centered around kids doing the impossible, whether it was mm-hmm. Daryl or The Explorers or Flight of the Navigator or The Goonies. Or to some extent, not really a kid, but The Last Starfighter. It was all this wish fulfillment stuff. And The Goonies was the perfect thing about having a group of kids in a nowhere town where there's nothing special about them. And they go on this grand adventure. And again, it was one of those 1980s kids wish fulfillment movies. But it was done a lot better than most of that style of film. And it really had kind of a, I don't want to invoke Indiana Jones necessarily, but it had really that kind of that spelunking archaeology style adventure to it, even though it wasn't really archaeology.
Yeah, that's certainly Spielberg's touch on that movie, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And yet Jurassic Park, I mean, you know, disregard the sequels, but this is a classic film and a classic story.
Yeah. It was one of the first movies I remember being waiting in line for and actually going and having an event to go to the theater with a bunch of friends.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember that event clearly. I got out of the car me and all my friends were in, and the driver promptly ran over my foot.
Ooh.
Yeah, I remember the event very clearly. Yeah, I couldn't kick him with that foot for like a good week. I made up for it later, though. But yeah, Jurassic Park, definitely an event. Nathan, like you said, the special effects, I mean, that was groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
And not just CG, but practical effects, too. I mean, they had that full-size, was it a Triceratops?
Mm-hmm.
Breathing and everything, and the puppetry work with the iris on the eyes and the lids and everything. Like, it had texture to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these but movies are both in my top 20, my personal top 20. So Goonies is my number 14 and Jurassic Park is my number 10.
Hmm.
So these are both best of the best for me.
I can honestly say that in all of the episodes we've done, this could be the toughest matchup I've had.
It's very, very close.
Lou, you're obviously going Jurassic Park.
Yes, I am.
I am as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that makes it easy for me. It makes it a moot point. I'm going to go with Goonies just because.
All right. Jurassic Park beats the Goonies.
Jurassic Park definitely holds up better, though.
Mm-hmm. Chasing Amy against Scary Movie.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
This is actually a little bit tough, too. The first Scary Movie was okay. Chasing Amy was not a great film, but I have to say that it was probably one of Kevin Smith's better films.
Hmm. And especially like his other stuff.
Yeah. And if you pay attention to it, like, especially like right now, sociologically speaking, the public discussion about, the LGBT community and gender identity and stuff like that, I mean, basically, if you don't know what the film is about, Amy is a lesbian and decides, I forget the exact details of the film, but she ends up hooking up with Ben Affleck's character. And he kind of is like, I got her to switch sides and all that. And then later basically gets dumped. And he's like, well, wait a minute, what happened? What went wrong? And so he's not supposed to be the hero either. That's where a lot of people get confused. And they're saying it's almost like an anti-gay film. It's not. It's a demonstration of the like people not really understanding how other people around them necessarily work. I have to say, aside from maybe Dogma, this was probably his most profound film. I think I'm going to have to go Chasing Amy just because while some of the humor in Scary Movie worked, and, I'm big on pacing issues, but Chasing Amy, and it had some of those, but I think Chasing Amy was a more profound film.
Yeah, I mean, Scary Movie is just like an advertisement for Carmen Electra in an underwear, right? I mean, that's basically the movie. I don't have as much fondness for Chasing Amy as you do, Eric, but I still think it was a pretty good movie at the time. I haven't seen it since. And it didn't have a huge impact in terms of certainly not among Kevin Smith's other movies. Like for me, Clerks and Mallrats were both, you know, hugely impressionable on me, but Chasing Amy was not.
Oh, I started rewatching Clerks, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad as I remember. Still not like I'm still not finished watching it. I think if you rewatch Chasing Amy, I think Chasing Amy was about, I mean, it came out in 97. It's almost 20 years old. And I want to say that thanks to the social impact of the internet and social networking, it was probably a good solid 15 to 20 years too early.
Maybe so.
Yeah, possible. Yeah. I'll be the dissenting vote here. I'm going to say Scary Movie because being the first of its kind doing that, I thought it was a very well done movie. I enjoyed the, you know, the spoof aspect of it. So, I mean, I really did enjoy Chasing Amy as well too, but.
So you're saying Scary Movie was the better film?
What's that?
Scary Movie was the better film?
Yeah, to me.
You actually saw it, right?
Yes, I did.
With your eyes.
They
were open.
It was the last movie that the Zucker brothers did that actually had some sort of actual success.
It was good.
None of the sequels are worth anything. This one being the first one, I thought was a pretty decent movie.
All right. So it looks like Chasing Amy will beat Scary Movie then. All right, we've got Mrs. Doubtfire up against Jaws.
No contest.
Yeah.
Jaws.
I'm losing just every single thing here. This is horrible. Wait till we get to Deadpool.
You won the last one.
What one did I win?
Chasing Amy.
You don't like Jaws, Eric?
No, I lost Chasing Amy, didn't I?
No,
you guys both went Scary Movie.
We went Chasing Amy.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, I'm sorry. Jaws was okay, but it was
Jaws was okay.
It was okay.
I've never heard anybody describe Jaws as being okay.
Wow. No, it's okay. I'm not like down on it. Like, you know, something like 2001. I think it's overrated. It's not that overrated, but it's. I think it's. You know, it's a good film. It's maybe even a really good film, but like it's not anywhere near the top of my chart.
I went and saw Jaws last year in a theater when it came back around for the anniversary. It was just amazing to see on a big screen again.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, there's some good stuff in that movie. I like Mrs. Doubtfire. Some people don't like it at all. And I think it's got a lot of charm and heart to it, but it's not as good as Jaws. No way.
I'll concede Jaws is a better film. I'm not a big fan of either one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Jaws beats Mrs. Doubtfire then. Slamming through these. The Frighteners against Last Action Hero.
Hmm.
I would go Frighteners here.
I don't think I actually saw Frighteners.
I would go Frighteners too. I thought it was very underrated. I thought Last Action Hero was a little bit underrated too. I mean, again, it was kind of a, not really a spoof, but kind of a satire. Frighteners, I thought was a much better film.
All right. We've got No Country for Old Men up against Gremlins.
Hmm.
I like No Country a lot, but
I've not seen No Country, so I'm going to sit this one out.
This is tough. I mean, No Country for Women was a fantastic film, but I feel there's just so much behind Gremlins, you know, just from maybe it's the nostalgia aspect of it talking, but God, Gremlins was a very, very well-received movie, enjoyable movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's certainly nostalgia. It's gotta be.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I haven't seen it in years. So
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it several times since, and it still holds up, I think. Everything Joe Dante has done is pretty awesome in my book, so I'm a fan. Coen Brothers are hit and miss. No Country is one of their better ones. I like them when they're more straight up serious like No Country is and less goofy. It does have a very polarizing ending. It's not the happy tie up in a bow ending. Mm-hmm. Some people really, really get turned off by that. But
I love movies that are bold enough to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need everything wrapped up nice and pretty in a pretty box package for it. Yeah. To make it, you know, all happy. Okay, we're good.
Right. Yeah, I think No Country is probably a better looking movie overall. It's certainly a gorgeously shot movie. And it's got some incredibly tense and well acted scenes.
Right.
But the kid in me and the sort of magic of Gremlins is kind of
Yeah, I guess the magic is transcendent. Is the best way to put it. Because everything you're saying, but the cinematography, the acting, I mean, everything about No Country for Old Men is just way better than Gremlins. And I almost feel guilty voting for Gremlins right now, but maybe it's the magic. You're right.
You got to go with your heart, right?
Yep.
All right. Gremlins beats No Country for Old Men. Okay, we've got X2 up against Talladega Nights.
I've only seen portions of Talladega Nights.
That's all you need to see, probably.
Yeah. So it's kind of like I feel like I've seen all of it I'm ever going to actually see. So like it kind of counts, but.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
I liked X2.
Yes.
I know a lot of people think it's better than X1. I prefer X1 a little bit, except the ending. But I still like it's really close. I still really liked X2. So I'm confident that if I had seen the entirety of Talladega Nights, I still would go X2.
Yes.
You may have missed the best parts of that movie and maybe it will sway your mind. But no, I'm going to go X2 with you guys as well.
All right. X2 wins. Mission Impossible 3 against Galaxy Quest.
Which one was MI3?
It's the one that's directed by J.J. Abrams. It's got Philip Seymour Hoffman as the bad guy.
Okay, yeah.
It's my least favorite of the Mission Impossible movies, actually. Very kind of...
This is the least... The least of the Mission Impossibles for you?
Yes, definitely.
You preferred the Mission Impossible 2 Michael Bay fest over this one?
That's John Woo, actually, not Michael Bay.
I thought Michael Bay did one of them.
Nope. It's John Woo.
Oh, I have some apologizing to do then. Okay.
Yeah. With the motorcycle scenes and the doves thing. Flying.
Yeah, you got to admit that's the whole motorcycle fight scene thing at the end is pretty Michael Bay-ish.
It's awesome is what it is.
I'm going Galaxy Quest all the way on this.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Galaxy Quest is wonderful satire. Really good characters.
And I'm really disappointed that the television series they were going to be doing for that is now not going to happen.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I think because of Alan Rickman passing on.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, we've got Saw up against Walk the Line.
Hmm. Walk the Line was really good. Really good. But Saw took a genre and did something unique with it. It wasn't really unique. Yeah, you know, like I don't know that it's unique anymore, but at the time it was unique and I really liked it. And again, I have an appreciation for films where you can have a small set and a handful of people on screen. I mean, not behind the scenes, but
right.
And really carry a movie all the way through and have it be a compelling film. And so I think Saw is quite possibly one of the best horror movies ever.
I would think that it certainly deserves a place in the Hall of Fame, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's all about its high concept of it, you know, the sort of setup and just the unbelievably good twist ending too is great. It makes that movie so successful. Walk the Line's good for a biopic, but I'd give.
Yeah, you know, Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon did fantastic in the two roles.
I'll give it to Saw.
Yep.
All right, Saw will beat Walk the Line. Okay, next up we've got Dead Poets Society against The Devil's Advocate. Yeah.
I'm going to go Dead Poets Society. Not my favorite film of all time, but Devil's Advocate was... interesting.
I actually really enjoyed Devil's Advocate. I mean, I don't think it's a better film in this case, but I really did enjoy Devil's Advocate.
I did too.
I mean, Al Pacino put a great role on as the devil. I mean, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, I like Devil's Advocate. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure movie. But
I think not, a lot of that is because of the pedigree that's, I mean, you know, you got Pacino, you've got Keanu Reeves. They carry the movie pretty well, but it's, I mean, they're carrying a piece of turd. They're carrying it really, really well. There's nobody else you'd want to have carry a piece of turd as them in this case, but it's still kind of a piece of turd.
All right. Dead Poets Society will win this one. Let's see. All right. We've got Wild Wild West against Willy Wonka. It's a lot of wah-wah.
Yeah, a lot of W's there.
Yeah, I'll go for the two W's instead of the three.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy choice there. Don't even have to talk about it. Captain America, the First Avenger against Alien 3.
I've never really cared that much about the first Captain America film.
I think it's fine. It's fun.
It's good. It's a prequel. I don't like prequels.
Mm-hmm.
And Alien 3 is, again, I think it gets a bad rap. I don't think it's as bad as everybody says it is.
Do you think Rogue One will be the first prequel that you like?
It's not a prequel for those characters, though. I mean, technically, Captain America isn't. We've talked about this before. It's following certain characters, and it's not a prequel. Now, the novel Catalyst, talking about, you know, Jin as a little kid and her parents and all that, that's a prequel. I would not want to see that movie. It would not interest me. But you're following characters, and this is the first time we're getting exposed to these characters.
Right.
So it's not a prequel, even though it happens at a time period earlier on. My thing with Captain America is
Vader.
He's barely going to be in it. I could care less about Vader. Captain America, I don't like period pieces that much either. So the whole, you know, World War II stuff. Nah.
But for me, you know, for me, Alien 3 was a real letdown after Alien and Aliens.
But that's the thing. I think it was because the expectations were so high.
First two movies were. It was my least favorite Alien movie until Alien Resurrection came out.
Well, so. But it's because it was the least Aliens of the Alien movies. Like, it was the least part two of all of the parts.
Yeah, but it just felt like they were, you know, hey, we can make a movie about this with the same name in it, so we'll do something. It wasn't really thought out real well. It didn't work for me as well as the first two did.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, I mean, I see your points about Captain America, Eric. I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't my favorite movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I think it's a better movie than Alien 3.
I go Alien 3. It's David Fincher's first movie. He got massive pushback and problems from the suits at Fox making it. He didn't get to make the movie he wanted, and that's why it didn't turn out quite as awesome as it could have been, but I still think it's kind of a gem of a movie for a lot of other reasons. So Alien 3 is going to beat Captain America the First Avenger.
Sounds good,
right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, we've got A Bug's Life up against Armageddon. I like Armageddon. I think it's fun. I think it's super crazy, melodramatic and cheesy and way over the top, but it's also way very over the fun.
Top, all right.
Yeah.
For me, over the top has to be done very carefully, though. Armageddon's not bad, but I really like A Bug's Life. So there are a lot of movies where I would choose Armageddon, but in this one, I'm going to go Bug's Life.
So it's up to me, you're saying.
Yes,
I think so, Lou.
I mean, Bug's Life is the most forgettable of the Pixar movies for me. So yeah, I'll have to go Armageddon because it was more fun.
Yeah. Right, Nick,
and it was definitely a fun movie.
Awesome.
Even though they went to an asteroid, landed on it, and whatever.
Yeah. It makes no logical sense, but it's still fun.
You're right.
All right. Armageddon beats Bug's Life. And now we've got Inception against American Pie 2.
No real battle here.
Yeah.
Inception.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Don't even have to discuss it. Seven against Mary Poppins. Very dark against very happy. Seven is in my top 20.
I don't have it that high, but I think I've got it fairly high. I'm going to go seven, I think.
Yeah, I have to go seven.
I mean, Mary Poppins is, you know, of all my childhood Disney films, I have a greater appreciation for that, I think, than a lot of them. But yeah, seven's better.
All right, we've got Hancock up against Memento.
Memento all the way, baby.
Yep, Memento for me.
Ugh. Definitely. I love that movie.
I will go Hancock.
I know.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Nathan hates Memento. Really? Hancock?
You hate Memento, right?
I hate it.
Hate it, yes.
Oh, I know Nathan doesn't like it, but really? Above Hancock? Okay.
All right, Memento.
I think Memento is to him what 2001 is to me.
Probably so. okay, we've got Nightmare Before Christmas up against Garden State.
I don't like either one of these movies.
yeah.
I'm not a big Halloween guy, but I respect the fact that Nightmare Before Halloween Christmas guy,
and I just didn't like this good. Movie. It's just, Tim Burton.
It's good. Like, this is one of those movies where I don't like it, but I respect the fact that it's really, really good.
It's so well made, guys.
Yes. Yes.
You gotta respect.
I should give it another chance, I guess, because I maybe it's my prejudice against Tim Burton, but man.
You should, man. You should give it another chance. Right now is a great time to watch
Halloween,
it.
But okay,
it is a wonderful Halloween movie.
It's not going to, Lou. I'm going to save you some time. Don't bother rewatching. Your opinion on it's not going to change. Mine never has. But it's an excellent film. Garden State was good for being an indie film. Zach Braff did a respectable job with his first outing. Not worth writing home about though.
Nightmare Before Christmas is my number 20.
Oh, wow.
Really? Wow.
I have so much respect for the guys that do stop motion animation. Like, I just recently saw Kubo and the Two Strings. That movie's just as impressive, if not more impressive. Just, you got to consider, it's like a film is shot 24 frames a second. And so they have to move every single thing you see on screen 24 times for every second of movie. And this is a, 90 minute plus movie. So
it's definitely impressive. I get that.
There's a lot of craft and skill involved in making a movie like that, that you just don't see in other types of movies. So, are you guys both going against Nightmare Before Christmas?
No, I'm going for Nightmare.
Okay. All right.
No, just me.
All right. Nightmare Before Christmas beats Garden State. Avatar against Godfather Part 2.
Somebody
listening right now is screaming right now.
Yeah, probably.
Gonna go Avatar
for me.
Yeah,
never been a huge fan of the Godfather movies.
Eric, have you seen the Godfather movies now?
I've gotten through part of Part 2.
Okay. Well, one of you guys hadn't seen them, right?
Yeah, it was me.
Okay. So you watch part of Part 2, but not the first movie?
Well, and that's why I only watched part. No, that's not why I only watched part of Part 2. I want to say that's why I only watched part of Part 2, because I knew I had to go back and do Part 1 instead. No, I only watched part of it because I really didn't care much for it. It was one of those things where it was on. And so I'm like, let me take a look. And no.
All right. Oh, boy. Sorry, folks. Avatar beats Godfather Part 2. All the cinephiles, heads are exploding right now.
Somebody just drove off the road.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got The Dark Knight against. Oh, no, we don't.
Oh, that would have been good.
I don't.
You're clicking too fast.
Okay, now we've got Zoot. Damn it.
Dude, another one would have been great.
Sorry.
Crumbling. We just gotta be quicker. Crumbling down around us, man.
Sight's just borking out for some reason. don't know why. Are you done?
Okay. In this one stays.
All right, now we've got the Fast and the Furious up against the Fly. No comment?
I'm going to go The Fly.
Yeah.
I liked the first Fast and Furious movie, but I think The Fly was a more impressive film.
Definitely. I mean, it was more of a film than a fun movie like Fast and Furious.
Yeah. And it was one of the only roles in which I really liked Jeff Goldblum. And was it Cronenberg that directed it?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, good job there. Who was the female lead? Was it Andie MacDowell?
Gina Davis.
Gina Davis. I'm sorry. I'm going to go The Fly.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we've got How the Grinch Stole Christmas against The Green Mile. This is the Jim Carrey, Ron Howard directed Grinch.
This is a matchup that I haven't seen either one of these movies. So you guys are all it.
Green Mile.
Now, okay, so let me say this in... I'm going to go Green Mile too, but I want to say this in Grinch's defense. The production, the set work, the art direction was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey is the only human being, I think, who can pull off a live-action Grinch without having to resort to CG and actually make it look like the Grinch.
Right.
I think the big failing was they took a 20-minute story and stretched it out to an hour and a half.
Right. Agreed on all points. Green Mile beats it, though.
Yep.
Frank Darabont doing great work with Stephen King. Okay, we've got Zoolander up against Being John Malkovich.
Oh, wow. I just really did not like Being John Malkovich at all. I don't want to have to pick Zoolander, but I really don't want to have to pick Zoolander, but I got to pick Zoolander.
Ugh. Lou.
No, I can't pick Zoolander. So I will go with Being John Malkovich. I mean, that wasn't my favorite movie. I mean, it was okay. I can respect what it did, but it's definitely better than Zoolander.
Good. Malkovich wins over Zoolander. All right. Now we've got Saving Private Ryan up against Batman Forever.
Oh, wow. At least it's not Batman and Robin. Saving Private Ryan. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's such an awesome film.
Yeah, it's definitely better. No doubt there. All right, we've got Doctor Strange up against Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
A lot of people hated Prince of Thieves, and I don't get, other than Kevin Costner not having a British accent, and I'd rather him not do one than to do one badly.
Do it badly, yeah.
Right, but back then, that was, these days, it's like, oh, don't do it if you're not going to do it right. But back in 1991, it was like, no, you got to do a British accent, period. But I didn't think it was nearly as bad as people seem to think it is.
No, I actually really enjoyed Robin Hood.
And Alan Rickman is awesome.
Alan Rickman was great. Sheriff. He was awesome.
The spoon. Why a spoon?
That being said, the hard part about this is Doctor Strange is so new.
Yep.
That it's hard to really feel comfortable feeling like you know where it's going to settle in with some of these things. I kind of think that... Doctor Strange might be one of the best comic book origin stories of late. And I didn't think I'd be saying that. I have no interest in the character. We'll still never pick up one of the comics. And I like comics. But the film was far more impressive than I thought it was going to be. I don't know what to do on this one. I kind of feel like going with Doctor Strange.
I think I'm in the same boat with you, Eric. If Robin Hood, if it was up against a better movie, if Doctor Strange was up against a better movie than Robin Hood, I think I wouldn't have a problem voting against Doctor Strange. I feel guilty voting for it because it's so new in terms of when it came out, but it is a really good film.
Yeah.
So which way are you guys going then?
I'm going to vote Doctor Strange.
I'm still on the fence. Nathan, convince me.
I'm not really sure. I liked the effects in Doctor Strange, but you know, it's also got quite a bit of time on Prince of Thieves. Prince of Thieves can't really compete there. So I don't know if I should make that a demerit on Robin Hood or not.
It's not really a very effects heavy film though. So it's not like,
right.
I mean, it should age well. And right. I mean, it is what it is. Well, probably, but if it doesn't. Hasn't, I don't think it's because of the lack of special effects.
Right.
So I don't think you can blame that.
Benedict Cumberbatch definitely does a better accent as an American doctor than Kevin Costner as a that British is true. Robin Hood.
Though again, props for Costner not even trying, because
well, he did try. Stupid, I think. But he tried and failed horribly.
Did he? I didn't think he tried to. I thought he just did an American accent.
No, he slips in and out of half British.
Oh, okay. I'm Doctor Strange then. Yeah. Nope. Screw that. I must have forgotten that part. All due respect to Alan Rickman.
Yeah. All right. Doctor Strange beats Robin Hood. Ice Age 2 against E.T.
I still haven't seen E.T.
Ah, come on, man. How many episodes is it going to take before you say that you've seen E.T.?
I'll surprise you sometime.
Yeah. Do we need to discuss this, Eric?
No.
All right. E.T. No. beats Ice Age 2.
Easily.
Schindler's List against Empire Strikes Back.
Now, I've never seen Schindler's List, but I'm going to just go out on a limb here and say that if it's not Blade Runner, I'm going to go Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to vote for Schindler's List being such a dark, sad, depressing movie. I mean, it great cinema.
Yeah.
But it does have that little hitch against it for being so dark.
But that means that it was effective in what it was trying to do.
Oh, exactly.
So you got to give it props for that.
And exactly. It's the perfect example of a movie that you can't use the I'd rather watch this right now.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down.
There is no time you ever want to say I want to watch Schindler's List over something else.
Okay. Empire Strikes Back beats Schindler's List. Team America, World Police up against Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Yeah, I would take Watchmen.
Jeez, Lou. You don't even want to think about it a little bit?
No.
You saw the censored version. That's the sad part.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World against Training Day. I have not seen Training Day.
I kind of liked seeing Denzel Washington as a bad guy.
He did it really well.
Yeah.
I just didn't care for the movie overall.
Scott Pilgrim is super creative and cool.
Yeah, but it was kind of that creative that I kind of have a low tolerance for.
What does that mean?
Well, the whole kind of like ridiculously outside of reality sort of like I get it. I'm going to go Scott Pilgrim in this case.
Have you ever actually read the comics, graphic novels?
No.
Yeah, it's incredibly accurate.
No, I've seen some like stills and like side by sides and stuff, and yeah. I flipped through some of the books before, but
it's very impressive.
It. Yeah,
like to me, Watchmen and Scott Pilgrim are probably the best translations from the page to the screen that I've seen. So yeah, Scott Pilgrim would get it for me for sure. Ferris Bueller's Day Off against Garden State.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
I really have a hard time getting sick of that movie.
Bueller.
Yeah, you can't really. Twister against Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
For sure. All right. Zootopia against The Shining.
You guys are going to hate me. I'm going to go Zootopia.
Nope.
No, Shining.
Shining. I know.
Team America Civil War. Or up Team America. Captain America. That would be a good movie, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome.
Captain America Civil War against Dread.
Kind of
tough.
It is a little tough. I need to rewatch Dread.
I think Dread's probably the better movie. I think Civil War probably has the better superhero fight scene. But I think as a whole total package movie, I think Dread is probably stronger. I think so.
Interesting. Okay.
Dread. I mean, they're two different, very different style of movies. I mean, what's the plot to Dread? You can basically summarize the film in about three sentences, spoilers included. So, but it's an adrenaline-filled roller coaster ride. Not even a roller coaster, because there's not even a lot of ups and downs. It's just always up.
It's a throwback to like the Paul Verhoeven, you know, 80s ultra violent kind of fun action movie, which we haven't seen in a while. Like Dread and John Wick are both two examples of like what I would call a resurgence of good action movies. Like
yes.
The actual, you know, squibs everywhere. Lots of, you know, just people shooting assault rifles and just, you know, bodies falling, you know, off of staircases and stuff, like the good stuff in action movies. Right. Civil War is cool. Like when I saw it, I was impressed. You know, the 3D was good. And like I've said many times, the whole airport hangar sequence is great. You know, it's probably the best we've ever seen on screen in terms of superheroes fighting.
But the third act, though, like the more I have to compare it to things, I think this is one of the I said a couple of episodes back that the Marvel movies, for the most part, for me, have been immune to the phenomenon of I rank it highly. And then a few months later, I rank it lower. And then a year later, I rank it lower. Civil War might be the exception. I think I maybe need to rank it lower in my list again, because the third act just, I don't know, it doesn't hold up for me anymore.
And the thing about these movies now is that they are sitting atop all of the baggage of all of the other movies. Like if you were to think about this movie in isolation without thinking about any of the Iron Man movies or the Captain America movies or, you know, Avengers, it just feels like, does it hold up on its own as, you know, as a single film? Like I think the Captain America Winter Soldier movie, I think, is a much better isolated film. Like it tells a story that's much more encapsulated and strong. Whereas I think Civil War feels like just throw as many characters as we can into a movie and make them have some sort of conflict and then have it sort of resolve at the end. Like it doesn't really have like a real strong story to tell other than, you know, should we have these abilities and should we have free reign over the earth kind of thing.
I really think they should have split it into two films. Like if they were going to do this many characters, they needed to spend a little bit more time developing the characters and the conflict and maybe split it up into two films. Because like you said, it really did kind of feel like they were just like, I don't feel like you needed to know the backstory necessarily for all of the characters. But yeah, they really did kind of just throw a lot of people in for the sake of having a big battle scene.
Well, it shows, you know, that they probably understand that for Infinity War, that they have to make two movies. It's just too much to tell otherwise.
I thought they changed that, though.
No, they're still making two
movies. Okay. I'm going to double check you on that one. You're probably right, but I'm still going to double check it. Anyway, you know, the more I think about it, I'm kind of leaning toward Dread.
Yeah, Infinity War Part 1, 2018, Infinity War Part 2, 2019.
How old is that info, though?
It's on IMDb.
It's on IMDb, so it must be true. Okay, now maybe you're right. I thought that they had, when they dropped the Inhumans movie, they changed it around. They were just doing the one Infinity War film, but Lou, you didn't like Dread?
I didn't not like it. I just liked Civil War better.
Okay.
So where are you going there? So
I'm the one. It's in my hands here. I'm gonna go Dread.
Nice.
Not sure that was the right choice, but I'm gonna go Dread.
All right. Next up, we've got Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon up against Contact.
I did not like Contact.
I liked it when I saw it. It's been a while, though.
Yeah, I liked Contact quite a bit.
Even when I saw it, I didn't like it.
It's too 2001-ish for you?
You know, there's something about
the opening.
There's something about these movies where it's like just nothing happens and nothing happens and nothing happens and you're waiting for the end that just bore me. And then in this case, the end wasn't even very good. I'm going to go Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon all the way on this. I thought it was a gorgeous film. The fight scenes were incredible. The cinematography was great. Just the craftsmanship of the film all around was great.
Yeah. I mean, there was no tiger, no dragon.
I know, right? False advertising at its peak.
I mean, the dragon was hidden. I get that part, but
right. Tiger was crouching.
I'm also going to go Contact because I thought the concept of the movie was excellent. I thought it was the execution on all sides was decent. I absolutely adore the opening sequence in that movie.
You know, if there had been more executions, it would have been decent.
The first one, 6 minutes of the movie or 8 minutes of the movie. No talking at all, just that that sequence where it pans out from stars into her
now
eyes.
Now I'm seeing the 2001 connection.
I love
that. Thank you, Lou.
These are pretty close on my chart, actually. Crouching Tiger is at 545 and Contact is at 482.
Well, there.
So Contact, I do agree with you, Eric, that I think Crouching Tiger is pretty solid movie. You know, it's certainly in the top half of my chart. And
so tell me what makes Contact better then? Cause I don't get it.
I'm super into that whole, you know, kind of search for extraterrestrial kind of storyline.
And the concept is great. I mean, count me in, but just the execution of it just seems so.
I like the sort of slow burn, heady sci-fi stuff.
I don't need
stuff.
Movies to be fast and giving you everything all at once. I
don't either. I just don't want them to be wasting my time.
Over a period of time.
All right. I mean, it's not that I'm not patient. It's just I don't want to feel like my time was wasted.
Lou, have you seen Arrival yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well,
have you, Nathan? You have, right? Now, let me ask you a question. Have you read the short story it's based on?
I have not.
Shoot. Because I've read the short story. I have not seen the film. And I want to know how close it is to the short story.
I'll see the movie.
Yeah, I will eventually.
That's an easy way to do that.
I'm working on it. Got some Star Wars stuff coming out.
I'll tell you what. I'll trade in your Rogue One ticket. You can go see that.
Oh, there you go. You traded my Rogue One ticket. I'm going to go see Passengers, not this.
All right. Contact beats Crouching Tiger.
Sigh.
Now we got Forrest Gump against Hancock.
Oh my gosh. Hancock.
Come on. Really, Eric?
Yes.
Really?
Emphatically. Hancock.
Movies I don't think I should be voting for.
Let's see. Forrest. Got to make sure I spell it incorrectly. Gump. Where is it on my list? It is. There's Forrest Through the Gump. Eyes of Forrest Gump, too. Was that a sequel? All right, the site's a little slow. It's still loading up here. And I assume both of you. Okay, here we go. Out of, what do I have? 1,722 movies. This is 1,711.
Jeez.
Wow.
I probably need to re-rank it. To be fair, I think it's probably more like in the 1500s out of 1700.
I was going to say more in the 17, 21.
No, I could bump it up a good 100 spots, but yeah, it's
wow.
That's an active dislike for you.
Yes, it is an active dislike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost always vote the other film.
There are the movies that just fall to the bottom because there are so many other great movies, and then there are the movies that that exists there because you now, really just be fair, hate them.
To be fair, I've only ranked it 32 times. And I've done 13,500 rankings, and yeah. This has only come up 32 times. So to be fair, it's probably not accurate in my list. But yeah, to say it's in the bottom 10% is pretty accurate.
But it's going to still beat Hancock.
I know.
Lou and I are sane people. Forrest Gump beats Hancock. Okay, next up we've got Office Space against Cloud Atlas. These are both really good movies, I think.
I liked Office Space. I've got Cloud Atlas somewhere in DVD, I think. If I remember, it's something like 6 hours long, though. So I think I just never got around to watching it.
It's not that long.
Yeah, five
it
and a half.
It just feels whatever. That long.
No, seriously, it's got a long runtime, right? Like almost 3 hours, like 2 hours, 45 minutes or something?
It's around that, yeah.
Okay.
It's a big book, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made the mistake of doing the audiobook as well as watching the movie. I wasn't a big fan of either one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. The concept's interesting. You know, I got where they were going with it after a while. It was very hard to follow as an audiobook, I'll tell you that. but, yeah, I'm not going to give it too much hope for beating Office Space here.
If you didn't like Cloud Atlas, you probably wouldn't like Sense8. The Netflix.
No, I didn't like Sense8.
You know, we talked about that on Random Chatter. Neither but Lou or I
not for the same reasons. Not the same reasons at all.
But it's similar. Similar sort of kind of idea of connected people across time.
Yeah, but I couldn't get past the first episode of Sense8, so I don't know how much that
oh my gosh. Into
it. Yeah, no, I just...
I couldn't either. It just...
The message they were forcing down my throat just didn't really work for me, so...
Wow.
And it wasn't the message. It was... The method of forcing it down your throat, like the message didn't bother me. It was just, it was like, no, we're going to tell a story, but we're going to set the story aside.
The fact that they're forcing it on me just felt like,
right.
You know, exactly. You're making it too much of an issue. It shouldn't be.
You
know?
Right. You only got one episode in.
Yeah. No, maybe I got two in.
Cause it ramps up nicely.
I've still
really,
got it on my
show
list.
That show is really good.
Okay. You know what? Based on your recommendation, I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. When I have some time, I'll watch it again.
By the time you get to the last episode, you're in, I think.
Okay.
Unless you are, you know, a Donald Trump supporter and you know, you hate all things LGBT and,
No, it wasn't that.
Right.
I don't mind that at all. It just felt like it was so forced into the storyline that I don't know.
We knew the Wachowski siblings were doing it and we knew going into it that we'd read the press and everything that was going to be a strong theme, not a problem by any stretch of the imagination, but as Lou said, it was just the way in which it seemed to be like I sat through the whole thing like, okay, yeah I get it, but let's get to the story.
Right.
Just let me see what the characters are doing in regards to this story instead of like giving me 10% about this. There's something going on and the characters are connected, and 80 or 90% about trying to get me to accept LGBT characters. I already accept LGBT characters, mm-hmm. and that's fine, but let's spread out that aspect of what's going on with their lives.
I think of connected storylines, I'm much more involved in Falling Water right now than I was in that.
It's right. A slow burn show for sure. It takes its time.
Well, most of JMS's shows are. I mean, Joe Michael Straczynski did Babylon 5, and the first season of Babylon 5 was horrible. And Babylon 5 is one of my favorite shows ever. I mean, he is one of the kings of the slow burn. So,
yeah, it's worth it.
Okay,
once you get, I'd say maybe to the fourth or fifth episode, things start really accelerating and things get super cool and like all of the ways that they start interacting is really impressive and fun to watch. So
okay.
I don't know. I'm a huge fan of that show. I'm looking forward to season two a lot. But yeah, I think Office Space is probably going to win.
Yeah.
It's just so clever. And the timeliness of that movie seems just perfect. When it came out, it hit every box, checked every box for the perfect comedy. And Cloud Atlas is cool, but it's a little far reaching. So Office Space wins. Star Wars against Total Recall.
Now we should clarify, because this is really critical here. This is the original Total Recall.
Right.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I guess it wasn't that critical after all.
Raiders against Saw.
Oh, boy. Go ahead, guys.
Raiders.
And I'm going. So, oh, you already clicked. It's like I don't even get a vote. What is this? Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah. The Ring against The Matrix Revolutions.
I'm going to go Matrix Revolutions.
I'm going to go Ring.
Revolutions was the third, right?
Yes.
Okay. I liked the I didn't like the second one. I liked the third.
And I liked all the Matrix movies.
The Ring was okay.
Yeah. You know, issues with some of them, but I'm going to go The Ring.
Really? Why? Yeah. Explain why The Ring is better than the third Matrix film.
You know, for me, it's one of those things where I really like a well-told horror movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not into gore for gore's sake. I'm into movies that actually frighten me, you know, that have a element that you can't put your finger on that makes you kind of a little, you know, nervous when you watch it. And Ring had that. Ring gave me all those great feelings of what a horror movie should be.
Yeah, I'm with you, Lou. I'm going Ring. Ring is 142 on my chart. Revolutions is down at 456, which is still decent, but you know, I'm one of the biggest defenders of the Matrix sequels. Almost everybody else I know just hates on them endlessly, but I think they're solid. I think they tell a cool story. But I think The Ring is similar to Saw in the sense that there are a handful of movies that horror movies that have come out that really seem to stand alone and mm-hmm. have really impacted the culture in a way that is worth noting. And I don't know, it's just, it's so creepy. It's so well
and
done.
It was kind of the first of its, you know, type too. It wasn't like it's the, you know, fifth time we've seen this kind of a movie. It was mm-hmm. kind of groundbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of opened the doors to American audiences of that sort of J horror style of the spooky little boy or spooky little girl doing creepy stuff. But, you know, also kind of a more Eastern philosophy kind of storytelling and less of a sort of just slasher movie. So, yeah, Ring is going to beat it. All right, we've got Basic Instinct against The Spy Who Shagged Me.
All right, so this is the second of the two Austin Powers films.
Yep.
I've got to go Austin Powers on this.
Yeah.
I mean, Basic Instinct was good for what it was, but I don't know. I mean,
as a thriller, Basic Instinct was really, really well done.
Yeah,
I don't know how well it holds up now, but it was definitely a movie that kept you on the edge of your seat, and it was.
But I thought as
great,
a sequel,
great acting, great actors in the movie.
As a sequel to a comedy, I thought Spy Who Shagged Me was really good, and not so much for Austin Powers. Like I've never cared that much about the Austin Powers film, but it took what people seemed to like the most about the first one, which was Dr. Evil. And really expanded on that. And then you had Mini-Me. And then you had the interaction between, you know, Seth Green as Scott trying to vie for Dr. Evil's attention between Mini-Me and that whole thing there. To me, that just worked.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the second one. Basic Instinct was good. I have nothing bad to say about it.
I can really remember about Basic Instinct is an ice pick and a crotch shot.
Right. And I think that's the case for most people.
Yeah.
And yet I can quote things from Spy Who Shagged Me. I can remember many of the scenes.
Right. All right. Let's go Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me over Basic Instinct. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Flick Fights. We've made some changes on the chart, made some movement, hopefully. And let's see what our top 10 looks like. We've got Pulp Fiction, Cabin in the Woods, Willy Wonka, The Fly, Raiders, Alien, Force Awakens, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, and Blade Runner. Hey, cool. Not terrible.
Yeah, I don't think that's changed too much. They're not the top 10.
Yeah. So we're moving things around slowly but surely.
Hopefully we bumped Serenity out of that sweet spot right in the middle where it's the first thing that new movie comes up against.
So we got 370 movies and 458 rankings.
Cool.
So we're still just doing baby steps at this point.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to follow us on FlickCharts, send us a friend request to FlickFights, and you can follow us over on Twitter at FlickFights. And if you want to be a guest on the show in the future, send us feedback and send us an email to FlickFights@FlickChart.com. And from all of us at FlickFights, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.